Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. We are back in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it and turn with me there. We're looking at verses 10 through 13 this morning. And so I'll go ahead and begin reading. I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labors. It is the gift of God. Now we come to this passage this morning. We're going to be looking at both the comfort and the complexity of God's providence. And one of the things that we've seen throughout the book of Ecclesiastes up to this point is that most of the perspective that's been presented has been only what I can see with my eyes, only in the moment kind of perspective. But now we're going to drift into really bringing the providence of God into the picture. And one of the things that Solomon's going to do is he's going to say, look, as I look at life without God in eternity, it's very depressing. It's very discouraging. It's frustration. But I have to realize that that's not the whole picture. There's also another side to this, and there is the side that God is in control, that he is at work providentially. But even though I know that that's a reality, that doesn't change the fact that there's still an aspect to life that's complex and challenging. And so he's really going to kind of drift from that perspective of somebody who's just looking at life from what he can see and observe to somebody who understands that God is also in control. And so let me give you a simple summary statement of the passage in front of us. Life is challenging and full of struggles, yet God is accomplishing good even when we don't understand his ways. So we should learn to enjoy his good gifts and trust him to do what is right with what we can't control and understand. That's really the main point of the passage in front of us. And so with that in mind, let's look at a couple of details in the passage that I hope will be a challenge and a blessing to you this morning. The first is this: life is challenging, yet it's a gift from God. Here's how he puts it in verse 10. I've seen the travail, very important word, which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. The word travail means that life is difficult. It's full of labor. There's a struggle side to the things that I experience in this life. But then he talks about it's given by God. The idea is that though my life is challenging, it's still a gift from God. And so I'm not entitled to good things in this life. When I receive blessings and goodness from God, it's a grace gift. It's something that I don't deserve. And so Solomon's expressing that. We are not the source of our own lives. We are dependent on somebody that's far bigger than we are. And so he expresses that. Life is tough, but life is a gift. The second thing that we see is that in spite of the challenging nature of life, God is providentially working to accomplish good. He says it like this in verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. That statement is a very powerful statement. The goodness that we get out of life is not based on our goodness. It's not based on random chance or circumstance. The goodness that we get out of life is based on the goodness of God. It's rooted in his providence, and it's all on the basis of his time. So God's timing is what ultimately brings good out of the struggles that we experience in life. We see in these verses that God is actively moving, though life seems pointless at times. Sometimes it seems random, doesn't seem to be going anywhere. God is actually at work accomplishing good in those circumstances that we find. But it takes time, and God's plan unfolds progressively over a period of time. And during the middle of those situations that we find ourselves in, a lot of times we don't have the clarity or the ability to be able to see what God's actually doing. And so all of those concepts are going to be expressed in that little statement. He, God, makes everything beautiful in his time. I think of the example of Joseph. When we look at Joseph's life and we're reading earlier in Joseph's life, we see that Joseph's being mistreated by his own brothers. He's mistreated when he's sold as a slave into Egypt. He ends up in the prison. He's lied about. He's forgotten. Joseph's life is extremely difficult. It's full of pain and it's full of suffering. And what's interesting is that when Joseph names one of his children, he names him a name that basically means I have forgotten my struggles. And the idea is that Joseph chose to look past the challenges and the difficulties that he experienced in life, but they were most certainly there, and Joseph actually really experienced that. But at the end of Joseph's life, later on when Joseph is in a position of power and God has elevated him in the land of Egypt, Joseph is able to see his brothers face to face again. The same brothers who were harsh, who hated him, who wanted to kill him, who sold him as a slave, he's able to see them again. And when they're fearful for their lives, basically what Joseph says is this: you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. The idea is that the intention behind the actions that you took were evil, but God allowed that to take place for a good purpose that was beyond what you were trying to accomplish. And so we see the sovereignty of God. He allows things to unfold in this world, things that are difficult, things that are harsh, things that are even very, very painful. He allows them. He doesn't stop them. And he does it because there's a big picture in his mind, and he wants to accomplish something good out of it. And that's what he shows us in the story of Joseph. So in Romans 8, it talks about the same concept. He says that God works all things together for good to those who love God. In other words, God is able to take out of evil and out of struggle and out of difficulty and out of pain, he's able to take good out of it. Not that he turns it into good, but he's able to use it to accomplish good. And so we see that expressed in these verses. A third truth that's very interesting: though God is providentially working to accomplish good, his ways are mysterious and at times beyond our comprehension. So even though God is accomplishing good in the circumstances of our lives, in spite of the suffering and the travail and the difficulties and the sometimes randomness of what we experience, we also need to recognize that though we know for a fact God is good and God is wise and God's in control and he's using circumstances to accomplish good, though we know that intellectually and we can see it as time goes on in the midst of those struggles, we can't see it. In fact, it's mysterious. It's beyond our comprehension. Even as we look back later on, sometimes there will still be question marks, things that we do not understand fully. And so Solomon expresses that in verse 11. It says, he hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to end. In other words, we cannot fully comprehend. God doesn't allow us to fully comprehend all of the why questions. And one of the things that we struggle with in life sometimes is that there are questions that we never get answered. And one of the reasons that we don't get them answered could be that God has chosen to withhold that information from us. Or it could be that our minds can't fully comprehend those details. Or it could be that there's more to the picture than God's going to allow us for a season, but later on he'll allow us to see those details. And so one of the things he expresses is, even though life's tough and God is in control and God can accomplish good through it, there are still question marks that we wrestle with and we will never fully comprehend them. And it doesn't matter what your worldview is. Every single worldview is going to come to its limit where it recognizes there are things that I cannot answer fully. We talk about a person who's a secularist and they say, I don't believe in God. I believe in random chance. And my worldview is superior to a God-centered worldview. And I ask them the question, do you get all your questions answered by science? The answer is, of course not. It's impossible for you to get all your answers based on science. And so the reality is that though God is in control, there are questions that he leaves us with. And that's really why we have to learn to walk by faith. We have to learn to trust God in the midst of circumstances because there are things that are beyond what we can see. So while we can see, we cannot see the whole picture when we're in the midst of a struggle. And even as time goes on, there might be some details we don't fully understand. We then come to a fourth and final truth that we'll see in this text. Since there's a lot we can't fully know or grasp, we should enjoy the good gifts of God and trust him to do what is right with what we can't know or control. In verses 12 to 13, he says it like this: I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labors. It is the gift of God. Basically, what Solomon is expressing in these verses is that there are always going to be question marks. There are always going to be things that I cannot fully comprehend, and there is no one who can give me the answers to some of these questions. And this is something that can plague me all throughout life. It's something that I can really stumble over. It's something that can cause me a lot of frustration and grief. And he says, that's reality, folks. You will not be able to get past that side of things because you are just a creature, not the creator. You don't have the capacity to know and to comprehend everything. So here is how you should respond to that reality. The response shouldn't be despair or frustration or anger at God. The response should be, what good do I have? I should enjoy those things as gifts from God. I'm not entitled to them. They didn't come from me. They came from somebody else. They came from God. And so rather than getting so fixated on the questions and the things that I cannot answer and no one can answer, and I don't even have the right to have to answer those things. God is not obligated to answer all those questions. And even if he did, I wouldn't fully comprehend them even with his answers. I've got to learn to do two things. Number one, enjoy what is good. We have so many blessings in our lives that we do not enjoy fully because we don't focus on them. We don't appreciate them. We feel entitled to them. The good things that God has given us in this world, we become so frustrated with the frustrations and so fixated on the questions that we don't have the enjoyment of those things that God has given to us that we don't even deserve. And so Solomon says, enjoy what is good. Live life to its fullest. Enjoy the blessings as gifts from God. The second thing that he's emphasizing is trust God with what's uncertain. Okay, there are certain questions that we will never have answered. That's life, folks. We need to just get past ourselves and realize that we don't have the right to know everything there is to know, nor do we have the capacity to know everything that there is to know, nor can we fully comprehend even what's presented to us at the point that we're sitting here today. So even what God has given to us to know, we don't even fully understand it. So trust God to carry on his shoulders the weight of those difficulties. Trust him because he's good and he's wise and he's in control. And so enjoy what he gives you and trust him with what's uncertain. Life's not random. Life is not purposeless. There are purposes that God has in what he allows us to go through. And so we have to learn to trust him in the midst of that. I hope that this has been a challenge to you this morning. It was to me as I was reading it and as I was thinking through it. I understand that life sometimes has questions that are too big to answer. They are very complex. We don't know. And that's what Solomon's saying. But in the midst of that, we can focus on what we do know. We can enjoy what is good, and we can trust God with what's beyond us. If that's been a challenge to you this morning, I hope that you'll share that. And let's bow together for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless what we've looked at this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to trust in you and to enjoy what is good given by your hands. Father, we recognize that life is full of struggles and challenges and difficulties. And it's easy for us to become fixated on the challenges and the questions that we cannot answer. Father, help us to focus on what we do know. Help us to enjoy what we do have, and help us to trust you with what is uncertain. I pray that you'll bless each person that's listening to this morning. Help it to challenge them. Help them to respond in a godly way to it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to spend some time with you this morning, and Lord willing, we will pick this back up on Monday, so I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Bye now.